having been a colony for many centuries and having also lived in a vast colonized neighborhood for those centuries, we know what the term colonialism means. It means when one power or one set of people control another power or another set of people in such a way that essentially they can exploit them economically, which means in simpler terms that you can get the colonized power or colonized people to maybe do low value work for you or produce low value raw materials for you, which you then import and then convert into high value manufactured goods and essentially sell it back to the same people. You can do it because you colonize them, because they don't have a choice, you control the terms of trade. So if you look at the Indian history of colonialism under Britain, it is well known that until 17th, even parts of 18th century, India was a dominant player in global trade. India was a big exporter of finished goods, particularly textiles. This is when the Dhaka muslin was so famous. Now I saw a story the other day on how it has gone extinct and efforts are being made to revive it. So what happened? India or colonies were producing cotton, which was going to Britain, and they were converting this into textiles which were coming back to India, and that is how Gandhi started his Swadeshi movement, saying that we will make our own cloth, so I will starve the mills of Manchester. That is the essence of colonialism. This is not a professor's lecture. I am making it as decluttered as possible. Now, what are we talking about and why now? We are not talking about Britain. We are not talking about our history pre-1947. We are talking about what is now present. Are we a colony today of China when it comes to trade? Now, that's a provocative question to ask. But that's a story. We've been looking at data. And if you look at data, you know that that is actually a truism. Like it or not, it sounds very rude. But in terms of trade, India is now a colony of China. How does it work? So see this story. I'm sharing it with you, but I will also share some graphics with you as we go along that my young colleagues Ramya Nair and Carvey Graywell did on the print.in. Read that story and watch the graphics. This story tells you, now there are two ways of assessing the trade relationship between two powers. One is the dump system, the simple and straightforward system of who exports how much, who imports how much. So you might say, because you have an export surplus with somebody, you are doing very well. For example, and I will get into it in some detail in a bit, say with America, India enjoys a healthy trade surplus with America. So you might say that, look, India enjoys a healthy trade surplus with America, almost $28.8 billion, and convert billion dollars into rupees, a simple multiple is 70 rupees, that's ballpark to a dollar. I will not calculate every time for you. Now, so you might say that India has a 28.8 or nearly 30 billion surplus with America. India has at the same time nearly a 45 to 50, sometimes even 60 billion deficit with China. Nevertheless, isn't it the same thing that if you say that India is a colony of China on trade, in terms of trade, then America is a colony of India in terms of trade, because one place India has a deficit, one place America has a deficit with India. Now it doesn't work like that, because how it also works is qualitatively. It's also a question of what you are buying and what you are selling, what you are importing and what you are exporting. If you look at Saudi Arabia, for example, India has a humongous trade deficit with Saudi Arabia. It's almost a $22 billion trade deficit. And that when India's total imports from Saudi Arabia are just about $28 billion. But India's exports to Saudi Arabia are about $6 billion. But once again, this is not a colonial relationship, because Saudi Arabia sells to India a raw material that India does not produce. That is crude oil and cooking gas, LPG, butane gases. If you go to the Saudi Arabian embassy's website, you will see one entry, butane gases. So if you see the 28 billion or so that we import from Saudi Arabia, almost all of it all of it is to do with crude oil or it's a few of its derivatives plus a little bit of something called DAP, diammonium phosphate, which is what goes into one of our popular fertilizers in India. On the other hand, what you export to Saudi Arabia, there is some rice because Saudi Arabia doesn't grow rice and a lot of rice is eaten in the Arab world, particularly also because a lot of people from the subcontinent also work there, from rice eating countries, Sri Lanka, Kerala in India, and Bangladesh. And also India sells some finished products from its refineries. So the crude oil that comes from Saudi Arabia, Indian refineries are able to, India has now very good, very efficient and very large refineries. So India is able to export some back to Saudi Arabia. So once again, it is not a relationship of colonialism. It is the raw material that India does not have, that is crude oil. Now look at the situation with China. You will see these graphics. India's exports generally have remained 1/5 of India's imports from China. So India gets a double whammy. First of all, it has a huge trade deficit, its largest trade deficit. And second, almost everything India exports to China, roughly, if you look at the amount, last data that we have for the last financial year, it is $13 billion of exports. Once again, apply the standard of 70 or multiply by 7, that is 90 odd thousand crore rupees. $13 billion of exports from India. In fact, this is the average of last 6 years now I am giving to you instead of the last year, because last year gets skewed because of COVID. So last 6 years average is $13 billion per year exports from India to China, $66 billion per year import from China to India. That's a deficit, average deficit of $57 billion. So that is in the absolute sense, India has a deficit. Now, we would not have called this relationship colonial if India was importing, say, crude oil from China, or India was importing iron ore from China, or India was importing, say, bauxite from China and converting it into steel or aluminium sheets or into finished refined goods and exporting back to China, even if the value was low. It will not be like that. But look at what India exports and what India imports, and therein lies the rub. So India exports to China iron ore, a few petroleum fuels refined, because I said India has a lot of refining capacity, but very small. Organic chemicals, mostly these come out of sugar industry, glycols and things like that. Organic chemicals, refined copper, therein lies a tale I will tell you. Refined copper, cotton yarn, and cotton. Now, refined copper, I told you, thereby lies a tale, because India was a large exporter of refined copper. Refined copper, as it's exported in that form, is called copper cathode. So these are like large sheets of copper that come out of the refining process. Then, you know, we are specialists in firing bullets into the wheels of our own vehicles. So we, with all this agitation, had that Sterlite copper smelter shut down in Tuticorin. When that happened, India stopped exporting, because India had nothing left to export to China. In fact, India then became a net importer of copper cathodes from the world, including China. Pakistan has taken India's place in exporting copper to China, because Pakistan has copper in its mines, particularly in Balochistan. So India's loss was Pakistan's gain, but our dependence on China only went up. Until now, until this happened, India was the largest exporter of copper cathodes to China. Cathodes, as I told you, are those plates. Cathodes are not things that you see in old radio sets. Cotton and cotton yarn. Once again, India exports cotton, raw cotton and cotton yarn, and China converts it into textiles. And then you might find Indian mills importing that and then using it for this and that, or importing finished or stitched garments. A lot of the garments that you buy are of Chinese origin. So the deficit with China is not Ganesh ji ki murtis or Rakhis and patakas, those things are very visible, but those are very low in value, volume and value. What we buy from China, on the other hand, computers, phones, video equipment, semiconductor devices, electronic circuits, transistors, heterocyclic compounds, usually compounds of nitrogen, they are compounds with a cyclic structure which have two elements inside them. So most of our drugs, pharma is something that will be called heterocyclic compounds. Also many dyes, chemicals, both natural and synthetic. So, and fertilizers, TV cameras, automobile parts, and capital project equipment. Setting up a power plant, buy your entire generator, the heart of your power plant from China. Chinese will also lend you money. They may not always get it back, as they are realizing now, but they will also give you easy credit to buy these big power plants from China. So all your imports from China are highly complex manufactured goods, whereas almost all your exports to China, your exports to China also include shrimp, fish, really, really low value stuff like that. So this truly is something that we can call a colonial relationship. So this is not just a trade deficit for the amount, a trade deficit you can have with Saudi Arabia because you are importing crude oil, a natural raw material from there. But to have a trade deficit of these dimensions, twice as big, more than twice as big as with Saudi Arabia, and then have it qualitatively also. In fact, the gap, the trade gap or trade deficit with China qualitatively is much more humongous than quantitatively. So that just passes perfectly the test of the drain theory. Now, those of you who've read Professor Bipin Chandra or been to JNU, I know JNU is not all popular with everybody these days. So Professor Bipin Chandra came up with this theory, as I read, the theory of, it's called a drain theory. Drain theory is something that the British practiced with us, once again getting us to produce raw materials which they took at cheap prices. They had a free trade system for India. So it was exported out and India imported everything. Free trade, you know, because in my colony I can have the rules I want. So India then imported that stuff at a much higher cost. So India that way was transferring a lot of wealth to Britain. But that was the whole essence of a colonial relationship. In fact, I remember from my very early school, there used to be something that we were made to sing in the school. Among those things that you sing at prayer time, assembly time. So one of those lines I remember, and this was a play on Nirdhan Se Ladai Balwan Ki Ye Kahani Hai Diye Ki Aur Tufan Ki. It was a famous film song. But on that, based on that, my school teachers had made England Se Ladai Hindustan Ki Ye Kahani Hai Amar Balidan Ki. And it went on to say something like, Aisa Chakkar Chalaya Kiya Dhan Ka Safaya. इंग्लैंड का खजाना भरने लगा तो ऐसे ही खजाना भरा गया था. दैट्स हाउ इट वाज डन. नाउ प्रिसाइजली दैट्स हैपनिंग बिटवीन इंडिया एंड चाइना. नाउ यू वांट टू नो व्हाट्स हैपनिंग विद अदर कंट्रीज. जस्ट फॉर कंपैरिजन, लुक एट इंडिया एंड यूएस. इंडियाज एंड दिस डेटा वी आर टेकिंग फ्रॉम द यूएस ट्रेड, यूएसटीआर, यूएस ट्रेड रिप्रेजेंटेटिव वेबसाइट एंड यूएस मिनिस्ट्री ऑफ कॉमर्स. India's exports to US in 2019 were $87.4 billion. India's imports from US was $58.6 billion. So India enjoyed a surplus of $28.8 billion. You might say fantastic. Now, but these are absolute figures, but see the qualitative analysis and then compare this with our relationship with China. Qualitatively, if you see what we have imported and what we have exported, if you look at services, now services are high value things, software, intellectual property rights, travel, services, India has exported $29.7 billion worth to America. This is as high tech and as high quality as it gets. India has also imported, the import is $24.3 billion. So even on services, which is high quality, value added stuff, because everything about services is value added, it's all value addition. There's a surplus of $5.4 billion. No such luck with China. Then what is it that we, by way of goods, what is it that we import from America? Once again, some of it is very similar to Saudi Arabia. We import fuels because America has now become a big supplier of crude and gas to India. That's how, because Donald Trump wanted to balance his trade deficit a little bit, India started buying more crude from America and more gas from America, which is fine. You have to buy it from somewhere. More fuel, which is refined in India. Precious metals and stones, particularly diamonds, so raw diamonds are brought in. These are then polished and cut and exported back, so value added. So India gets raw material, exports back what is value added, aircraft, all Boeing, plus you know that a lot of defense aircraft, military aircraft are coming from America, machinery, organic chemicals. On the agriculture side, India has a small bit of imports from America, about 1.8 billion. Again, India has a trade surplus there. 1.8 billion, so India imports tree nuts. So about half of these is tree nuts, which is almonds, pista, stuff like that. And that's why you find American ambassadors are always plugging more almonds. And that's why when the last trade dispute happened between India and America, and Donald Trump put some sanctions and tariffs on India, India put tariffs on American almonds, because this immediately hits the farmers in California, because India is a very big market. India is an almond eating society. It's a very big market for American exports. But at the same time, India also exports to America finished diamonds, pharma, a lot of drugs. Whereas from China, India imports a lot of drug intermediates, which India used to manufacture, but India no longer does. Diamonds, finished pharma, machinery, spices, rice, essential oils, these are goods. So on every, whether it's on goods, it's on services, at every level, India has a surplus. India has a surplus not just in terms of value, but also matches America fully in terms of quality. Now, services, I told you, that was the cutting edge. Now, if I told you what is it that we export to America by way of services, you know, all your software, all your outsourcing, etc., is services exports. India imports, on the other hand, will be intellectual property rights, some transport stuff, and travel, because a lot of Indians travel to America. That also is America's export to India. That's how this relationship works. But even on that, India beats America. So once again, take these three examples. India's trade with Saudi Arabia, America, and China. And when you draw a line under this, you will see three conclusions. That India has a surplus with America, but it is not a colonial relationship either way. India has a deficit with Saudi Arabia, but that is just raw material being imported that India does not produce. Third, what you have with China, in terms of trade, is a purely disadvantageous relationship. Now, you might say that my calling it a colonial relationship is a clickbait. It might be, but I don't care, because this is meant to provoke you, and this is meant to provoke all of us, because the solution to this is not to stop buying from China. Solution to this is to start manufacturing more and to start reflecting on what is it that destroys our manufacturing, our labor laws, our land laws, our bureaucracy, our poor ease of doing business rankings, and our taxation and our multiple levels of Inspector Raj, which still persists, and our high internal tariffs as well, which make our goods more expensive.